Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
Happy Easter, everybody. Glad you guys found the front row. I would say that on the light, medium, extra amount of spit, I'm in the light to medium spitter range, and so you guys are going to be all right. Just love that you're here, especially new guests and friends who are just visiting and checking church out again, giving church a chance again. That's a special honor for us to be able to maintain your presence and your interest for a day. And it's all about, like Bucky said, a first step and a bigger, longer journey. So we hope that you'll consider that today. But today is Easter, and today we want to talk about that day 2,000 years ago. It's the day that death died. That's what Easter represents. Death was overcome. It's an odd way of phrasing it, isn't it? The day death died? How does death die? Kind of an odd phrase, death dying. But how does that happen exactly? Well, the message of Easter is that through the power of our wonder-working God, He raised His Son Jesus from the dead, and when Jesus overcame death, we get to as well. And in fact, this is seen even in Scripture. Look at 1 John 5. It says, He, Jesus, experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. That's Christmas and Easter in one verse, isn't it? That's what happened on Christmas. Life, real, full, eternal life came into the world through the person of Jesus. And on Good Friday, which we celebrated a couple days ago, when Jesus hung on the cross, and Easter, the resurrection, that was the day death died. And not just sometime in eternity, but here and now. Look at what 2 Corinthians says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Here and now, on this earth, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. You feel that, don't you? I mean, I'm just in my 30s, but I feel like stuff doesn't work the way it used to. And you can feel like your body is wasting away, but your inner self is being renewed day by day. How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, it's through the life-giving power of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection was a huge theme for the first pastors and preachers in the early church. They talked about it all the time, actually. My kids and I, we try and read the Bible at night. And one of the books we just finished was the book of Acts. In the New Testament Bible, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the biographies of Jesus. And Acts is the story of the first ever church. And they talked about resurrection all the time. Their main subject was resurrection. I mean, it's not surprising, is it? Because they had just witnessed the historical, literal resurrection of a man. And if you're wondering, I don't know about this Bible thing, some of it's kind of just poetical, or maybe it's metaphor. There was a body in a tomb, and then there wasn't. That's what it was. And there are sources inside and outside the Bible that corroborate that claim. There was a body, and then there wasn't. And so you can imagine why the first leaders of the church were obsessed with talking about resurrection. And yet, when we talk about Jesus today, when you hear about Jesus or Christian folks in the news today, what's the prominent message that you hear? Is it the good news of eternal life here, now, and in the life to come? Is that the messaging you hear? We got all kinds of goofy messaging about Jesus these days, don't we? Like for about 100 years, it was turn or burn. Remember that message? I know, it's cringeworthy. I get it. Yeah, makes you cringe a little bit. It's a little awkward, a little clumsy. Say, turn or burn. But for hundreds of years, that's what we preached. Fast forward to the last century. The last century, we tried to undo all that negativity, and we said, just get to heaven. That's the big idea. If you can just get to heaven, that's what it's all about. But even that message is kind of incomplete. Because I'm still here living the rest of my days on the earth. I need some good news here and now. Don't you? Yeah, and so even both those messages were incomplete. There was one message in the first church about resurrection that pierced people's hearts to the core, Scripture says. And the book of Acts shares this chronicle in chapter 2. It says, but God released him, Jesus, from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. That's the leaders and pastors of the first church. They were witnesses, eyewitnesses. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on all of us, you and me, just as you see and hear today. You see? See what verse 24 says? That's the day death died kind of passage. God, through Jesus, kept him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. It's all over Scripture. He overcame death, and it means, actually, guys, here's the good news of Easter. He overcame death, but it means we can too. Well, that's a big leap, Ben. Are you sure? Where's the connection? Can we find that in Scripture? Well, it's right here. Look at Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." Whoa. Hold on. I'm going to finish, but then we're going to come back to that. "And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you." One of my favorite passages of all of Scripture. Can we just sit for 1 second and consider that that could be true? It's a mystery. I understand that a little bit. But just, can you fathom the idea that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you and me? That's everything. That's Easter. Here and now. Not just for life eternal, though that's pretty cool too. But to have that eternal life living in us right now, that same Spirit, that life-giving Spirit, that's a day death died kind of life-giving Spirit that's available to you right now. But it doesn't feel like that every day, does it? I went to the internet. I wanted to find out, what's the updated list of the top 3 things people fear? You hear about that from time to time. And it was in the newspaper for me recently, and I just wanted to go find out if the internet said the same thing. I checked several sources. What do we fear most today? It hasn't changed much. What do we fear most today? The experts say that towards the top of the list is governance crisis or civil unrest. The one that's been on the list for decades is that second one, a loved one who's sick or dying. And finally, economic turmoil. Pretty grim outlook, isn't it? Here in the middle of 2022, we are at an absolute fever pitch of the highest ranking numbers of fear, anxiety, depression, and unhappiness that any generation on the earth has ever seen. And we're the most advanced. We got the most technology. We got the most money. We got the most stuff to keep us warm at night. And yet we're the most backwards people of all time. How? How can that be? Well, it's because every single day we have to face up to the fear of death in our finances, economic turmoil. We face the fear of death in our relationships. What's more vital and critical than that, than a loved one? You know, it's so interesting. All the lists I saw, it wasn't about me, myself dying, but about someone I love dying. Every list said the same thing. It's about the someone I love getting sick or dying. Isn't that what the governance crisis is today? It's not that we have a different political party to vote for. It's that we fear the death of our freedom being taken away from us. And I'm no different, by the way. I'm like you. I haven't figured this out. My wife and I just had a baby, actually just last Tuesday, and it's a great thing. I was going to say, it's a great thing to clap for, yes, and she can absorb all of those claps because she's a legend and a hero and an expert at this by now, and it was beautiful to see life-giving power in real time, to see life come into the world. It was like touching heaven, for sure. But in the weeks that led up to it, if I'm being honest with you, there was some fear. Some fear of even death and dying. What would I do? You know, giving birth, even today with all our technology, can be a complex thing and a complicated thing. What happens if I lose my wife? And what happens if I lose the baby? So I'm just like you. I have to keep realigning my heart with the love of God and his life-giving power here and now. We all have to do that. Well, how does that describe you? Do any of those things on this list resonate with you? Is anything on this list relatable for you? It's the fear of death and dying here and now. What do we do? What is our response? How can we live in this world, in this life that just wants to take stuff from us? Once again, the Bible holds the answer. Look at this from 1 Corinthians 15. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. That's religion. When it says law, that's when we try and do all the stuff to earn God's love. And the Bible says that's dead. Even the law, trying to earn God's love, is dead. You don't have to do that anymore. But thank God, with an exclamation point, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, that's why on Easter we get to celebrate the day death died. That's why we're preaching this message today on Easter, the day death died. You can celebrate that right now in your anxiety, in your depression, in your unhappiness, in your fear of finances and relationships, here and now. You can celebrate the day death died. It's now. It can be now for you. Jesus talked about that all the time. It was his biggest message. He said the kingdom of heaven is here and now. Here and now. Right in front of us. We just have to reach out and grab it. God's love is available to every one of us. Look at this. This is a famous verse. The world quotes this. They don't even know it's the Bible. 1 John 4:16 says, we know how much God loves us. And we put our trust in his love. Here's the one-liner from the world. Even the world knows it. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. Wow. Same spirit that lives in you, lived in Jesus, raised him from the dead. He lives in us. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. We will not be afraid on the day of judgment. We definitely don't have to fear that day when we go to meet Jesus. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. Say it with me. Such love has no fear because perfect love casts out all fear. Man, what a wonder of Scripture. What a wonder of Jesus, this truth that we believe that Scripture suggests. The verse says that the way to overcome fear and death today, though, here's the key, very practical point about what this verse says. We love the love part. It's so good that no matter what I do, I get God's love. And it's true. No height or depth could, depth, hard word there with the PTH, depth can separate you from the love of Jesus. No matter what. That's true. So we should celebrate that part, that God is love. But how do we experience that relationship in the here and now? The verse very practically outlines for us to know him, to be with him, to be with God's people more than one day a year, 2 days a year, 3 days a year, to be with the people of God, to encourage us and keep us along in this bloody battle against fear and death that rises up every day, to be in God's word. You can meet him. You can know him in God's word. When you read the Bible, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in you, it's going to help you read it and make sense of this life-giving power. Right now, just taking it off of one message is still kind of a mystery. You test it for yourself. And that's how we will know him. The verse says, know him, walk with him, experience his love by doing some of these things. I want to ask you a question today. Do you know him? Do you know him like that? Are you walking with him? Do you know him? You know, everyone has faith. One day, years back, I came to that conclusion. Every person is a believer. On the whole planet, every person is a believer. That's true. Whether they're agnostic or atheist, or they're the religious nuns, N-O-N-E, I don't affiliate with anything or anyone or anybody or any group or any institution because they're all backwards and they all try and use God's power for their own gain. Wherever you fall, whatever camp, you're none, N-O-N-E, none, agnostic, atheist, whatever it is, every one of the people on the planet has placed their faith in something. It's got to go somewhere. You're believing in something to take care of you tomorrow. You're believing in something to take care of you when you die. Every single person has faith. My question to you this morning, where is your faith? What's the designated location for your faith? Is it in your stuff? Is it in your relationships? Is it in circumstances? Is it in karma? That's a really popular one today. Old word, weird word, no one would use it, but we live that way. I just got to pay it forward. And that if I do good, a little bit of good is going to come back to me. I'm just going to do good and it's going to be like, you know, boomerang, going to come back to me. Karma, boomerang, whatever you want to call it. Most of us live that way. Let's just do a little good and the good's going to come back. Is that where our faith is? What about when we do a little bad? Whoopsies! And that comes back to? Ouch! That's a bummer of a faith system. That's no good. I'm hoping in something bigger and better than that. Maybe for you, maybe you're like me and you've put your faith in self. Me. I put a lot of stock in myself over the years. But thank God that he worked wonders in Jesus and raised him from the dead, because if I put my faith in me, I'm doomed to fail. That's not a very cool faith system either. I can't do it on my own, and I can't have a perfect record. And so if I'm trusting my imperfect record, what will be the consequence of putting my trust in myself? Ouch. That's not a cool system of belief either. And yet most of us are so invested in these self-salvation projects. That's what they are. If you, like me, struggle with faith in self today, then I would call that a self-salvation project. And it's the biggest obstacle to meeting Jesus today. It's the biggest obstacle to experiencing that life-giving power. You want to experience that life here and now, the day death died? If you want to live a life that is the day death died kind of life, one of our biggest obstacles and barriers is faith in self. And there's an example of this that I want to share with you. There's a story of a guy named Jack Welch. A lot of you guys may know that name, especially if you're a business-interested person from the last half century. Jack Welch just passed away in 2020. He was a businessman. He was a leader who oversaw some of the best years at a company called General Electric, GE. 20 years he was there. People wrote whole books about his success as an industry leader. And he himself wrote many books. One of those books was called Winning. The book followed a question and answer style format. And one of the questions that the publishers and editors thought was really cool, and they would leave it in there, was the following question. Do you think you'll go to heaven when you die, Jack? And we have a copy of how Jack answered. This is what Jack said. If caring about people, if giving it your all, if being a great friend counts, despite the fact I've been divorced a couple times and no one's proud of that, I haven't done everything right all the time, and here's the punchline. But I think I got a shot. When Jack Welch finished his last day at the company, he had a $500 million severance. It was the biggest one on record at the time. When Jack Welch passed away, he was valued at about $1 billion. Jack Welch had a PhD in chemical engineering. A lot of people didn't know that. Great businessman, but he's a PhD. Jack Welch had a beautiful wife, and in fact, a couple of beautiful wives. Beautiful kids. He had everything in the world, you would say, but what he didn't have was a very compelling answer for what gets you into heaven. Now, let me just pause. If you're thinking, interesting move, Pastor, picking on a dead guy for Easter, that's kind of awkward. I mean, did a lot for the world. He wasn't that bad. I agree with you. But if that's the only takeaway, you're missing the point. Why I actually appreciate what Jack Welch says in his honesty there in that book is because I think it's a perfect summary of our prevailing viewpoint today. Our most prevalent philosophy today for billions of people matches exactly what Jack says. It's just honest, so honest about what he says there. Prevailing wisdom today is that if I'm kind enough, I'm decent enough, I do a 51% good things, and I treat people pretty good, maybe I'll have a chance. You see, as the band comes up today, and we wind down the service, there are two fatal flaws that I want to show you in this way of thinking. The first one is that word maybe. Maybe I think I got a shot. Let me just ask you a question. If you could exchange that maybe for a certainty, wouldn't you? Every one of us in the room would change out that maybe for a certainty. And in fact, that's what Scripture affirms. Look what Romans 5 says. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, we have peace with God. That's the person you want to have peace with, y'all. That's the person you want to have peace with. We have peace with God because of what Jesus, our Lord, has done for us on the cross and out of the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We have status, you guys. He considers us status-holding, status-keeping sons and daughters with the person that matters. We have status with him, privilege, where we now, look at the word, look at the tense. It doesn't say one day when we get to heaven. It says where we now stand, we have right standing with God. And it just gets better and better. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Does that sound like a maybe? Does that sound like a I got a shot and I'm going to leave it up to chance when I go meet the creator of the universe? You don't want to leave it up to chance. You don't want to just have a halfway hope. You want to be able to say, I confidently look forward to the fact that God's going to welcome me in as his son or daughter. And Scripture says all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, we believe. Unreal. I'm not lying to you. There's not some other huge roadmap or some religious ceremony or some to-do list for God. Scripture again and again and again says, profess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved here and now and in the life to come. The second thing, the second fatal flaw, the first thing is if you could exchange the maybe for a certainty, wouldn't you? The second flaw that is just so backwards about our thinking today is that we think we can earn it. We're going to earn the free gift of grace. Look at this great summary from a guy named John Piper. This is the way of the world's thinking. This is a quote of how we think. Okay, I got it. God demands perfection. Got it, because he's perfect. And so the only way I get to be with him is if I'm perfect, I got to become in my behavior perfect. This is what we do. We've all done this. I've done this. And then God will look at me and he'll say, well, he or she's doing pretty good. We'll let him or her be perfect on account of him being perfect. On account of them trying so darn hard, they tried, truly tried. Because of their great efforts, we'll go ahead and give them a pass. Scripture says just the opposite. Because of Christ, his perfection is counted as ours. What a wonderful gift. It is the gift. It is the truth that matters for all time, for this life here and now and the life to come. You can live a life here and now where you celebrate every single day the day death died when you accept this offer. Not from earning. Wouldn't be a free gift otherwise. And if you're wondering, okay, as a result of Easter, Ben, what's my action step? What's the very next thing that I ought to do? It's again, Scripture has such a great roadmap. Those same leaders of the first church ever, Acts chapter 3, they were asking the same question. What do I do? My heart is pierced by this truth that I'm going to meet God one day and I want to know I have right standing. Very simple. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Now, this is really just a point of the service that's reserved for a few of you in the room. And that's okay with me. Sorry. I understand a lot of us have heard this message before. We've been Christians for a time. But I want to talk to the few people maybe in the room. It could be one or two. That's okay. But if there's one or two of you in the room who knows that they're sick and tired of working their self-salvation project and you want to try a different way, then here's the roadmap for you right now in this moment in service. We're going to pray. And in a second, the way we're going to pray is the first thing we're going to do is just repent. Repent is a highfalutin religious word. It just means churn. It just means I'm going to churn from my self-salvation projects and I'm going to churn and face Jesus and take his free offering of grace here and now. That's the first thing I'm going to pray for you in the room if you're sick and tired of doing your own self-salvation projects. The second thing I'm going to pray for is that you'll accept Jesus as the lover. Remember the 1 John passage? God is love, and those in love are in God. Accept Jesus as your lover. and accept Jesus as your Lord. Like I said, the loved one's easy. It's so cool and fun to say, Jesus is my homeboy. He's my friend. Used to be a t-shirt when I was coming up. Excuse me, it's not around anymore, but there was a t-shirt. Jesus is my homeboy. Awesome. We love that Jesus can be our friend, but you know what? He's also the Don. He's also the Godfather. He has to be King too. And that's part of the step we need to take. When we bend the knee and say yes to Jesus, we're done being the rulers and navigators of our life. It doesn't work. It's so tired. It leads to the road of anxiety, depression, and unhappiness. When you try and be the Lord of your life, that's where it leads. So if you want a little piece of heaven today, here and now, then you just bend the knee and call Jesus your Lord and lover of your life. And then finally, and this is the hope that we have in the prayer, you take hope. Because Jesus has overcome death and fear, here and now and the life to come. You need not fear anymore. It's the day that death died. And so would you just join me right now? We're going to worship and we're going to celebrate. And why don't you just stand with me? Because he is risen. He is risen. And this is what you say back. I'm going to say he is risen. And you all, if you're new, I want to hear you too. You just say he is risen indeed. So I'm going to try one more time. He is risen. Thank you, Jesus. And if you want to pray right now, you just close your eyes. If that's you, you don't have to come forward. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you right in your own seat to yourself. I want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, if you're praying right now because you're done with the self-salvation projects and you want Jesus to do it for you, just to yourself right now in your seat, you want to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I turn from my self-salvation project. And I walk into your open arms. Jesus, you are Lord. Say that after me. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are lover. I will stand in your hope. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. If you prayed that prayer because it's the first time for you to take on this new life walking with Jesus, we want to see you out in the lobby. We have a little gift for you that can just continue the journey for you. It's not a one-day thing. It's not a one-prayer thing. Now, welcome to the family. We're on a journey together, okay? Let's worship.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.